I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Utah Weekly Forum. I'm your host, Rebecca Cressman, and what an incredible pleasure it is to bring to you Mr. Michael McLean. He has so many hats, from actor to producer to, you know, should I say film director as well. It is the time in the season of the forgotten carols. Michael, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Rebecca.
I left off a number of your hats, so I hope that that is okay as we begin this.
I think we can add geezer to the hat list. I have a geezer hat. I have a grandpa hat.
Singer, you know, extraordinaire, storyteller.
Yeah. That's right.
You know what? This is the 30th anniversary of the Forgotten Carols. What is happening this year?
Well, this is, you know, we've had to, when we were trying to decide where we could go and what the COVID restrictions may or may not be, we decided to have it just be here so that I could be at home. And for those who last year were able to see the filmed version, we never got a chance to actually put that on the road as a live production. We just filmed it down in Cedar City, and we loved that script so much. And then I had this kind of really exciting idea of what if the role that I played in the film, where I was both John the Beloved and the narrator, what if we split that up? Because one of my dearest friends of almost five decades, who's an Emmy-winning actor, host, performer, brilliant, he's been doing a version of the Forgotten Carols in the Southeast, in the Bible Belt. And I went a couple years ago, to go see him. And I thought, his name's Michael Young. And I thought, if word gets out how good this guy is, I'm going to be out of a job. This guy is amazing. And so I was thinking about doing this 30th anniversary and doing something special. So I called him up and I said, would you be up for doing that? And he is stunning. And then it gives me a chance to do all of my favorite parts of the show, and the opening and the narration, and three or four. I actually get to, it's going to be kind of like the olden days where I get to play more parts. And yet he's going to do the heavy lifting there. And I think it's going to be stunning. We've got all of the people that people have loved in the past. Kyle Olson's coming back. The amazing Adrian Swenson, it's going to be really, really, really fun. And it's going to be the first time that this production will be seen live and not filmed.
That is extraordinary. You took us back in time, and as we mentioned, the 30th anniversary of the Forgotten Carols. I'm old enough to remember the very first. I think it was actually the second year that it was performed. And
when I played all the parts.
You played all the parts. And
yes.
I believe.
And we're still friends.
Oh,
that's a tribute to your patience.
No, the emotional beauty of the story of the Forgotten Carols, it was transcendent. It was just incredible. And if I remember right, I was in a small amphitheater in Logan. And so I kind of have to, you know, get my memories put in. But you really did become each of those key characters that tells the stories. And so this will be a reprise in a sense. So Michael McLean, back on stage.
Except it's really good now. Back 30 years ago, not so much. But I've decided that if you keep working at something long enough, eventually the talent will catch up to your dream. The dream of being able to do this show in these big auditoriums and fill it up. I wasn't quite ready for that talent-wise, but, you know, you keep working at something for 30 years, and you finally figure out got to get it right. And I think this is a great and a fun year to have people come. And 30 years is a long time to be telling the same story. And I'm just thrilled and humbled that people still want to come see it.
And I think what's wonderful about the holidays is we actually recognize and cherish traditions even more so than we do year round. And so when right, if you have the tradition, the same stories or even adaptations of a similar story, they have a power of grounding us and centering us. So I'm very excited about it. I was excited when, as you say, over the 30 years, things have changed from being kind of a solo show to bringing in incredible additional singers onto the stage, and that touring, right? And then the film that was made, the reimagination of the Forgotten Carols that was out, which was just extraordinary. So where will we see this, shall I say, adaptation or this presentation of the Forgotten Carols?
This year's 30th anniversary has three locations. We're going to, we're going to do, we do the tech rehearsals and stuff out at Tooele High, and we're going to do one show in Tooele, and then I think it's the 13th, we're going to do a show at the UVU where they do the big basketball arena stuff. And then we're going to do six shows at Cottonwood High, which is I've been doing it there for so many years. And then the final show on the 22nd, I think, is at the D Event Center in Ogden. So the great news for me is I don't have to go to a hotel. I can sleep in my own bed. I think it's going to be really exciting and a great way for people who this has been a tradition, a Christmas tradition. I'm so glad that we're able to return to the live version as opposed to the film version. But the other thing is I wrote a new song that I'm going to, you know, throughout the years, I would always kind of add a little something during the encore segment. And I just a couple weeks ago, I wrote a new song that I'm going to be premiering there. And I've been going through my lines and, you know, it's amazing. After 30 years, Rebecca, I still get emotional. I still feel like there's stuff that this story can teach me, and I am just so grateful that people have let me tell it. Maybe not as much for them as for me.
That's beautiful. And that actually kind of brings back the magic of live theater. That sense that what energy the performers have on stage is kind of absorbed and then bounced back from the audience back and forth. So I can absolutely, as a theater lover, understand why it is just so exciting for you to be able to bring it back on stage. And hey, Michael, you know, you've got to not only memorize the words of and lyrics of how many songs, but you got the dates right. November 29th in Tooele at Tooele High School. Then we have December 13th at the UCCU Center. That's the one on right on the amphitheater within, or the arena, I shall say, within Utah Valley University. And then you go onto a number of dates at Cottonwood High and then wrap up at the D Event Center in Ogden. So if for those who want to grab tickets, because, of course, this is another one of the special events that does get sold out, you can go online at ForgottenCarols.com, ForgottenCarols.com, and you'll see some links there to grab those tickets. So are there parts of the Forgotten Carols, especially since you'll be on stage a bit more this year, is there a part of the storyline that is a little more resonant for you? You're talking about how some of the lyrics and moments in the play are still quite emotional for you.
Well, I think the thing that's been so fascinating to me is that when I first wrote the book, and was sharing this with people, in the back of my mind, this whole construct, this whole idea that John the Beloved, who was promised that he'd live until Jesus came back, would be kind of, is this guy a crazy old man, or is he really who he claims to be, and what are the machinations that he has to go through so that he can have an impact on the life of this nurse who cares for him. For years, Rebecca, I played that differently than I do now. I played the part thinking, well, this is a guy who is charming and is going to bring these songs to life so that he can give this great Christmas experience to this gal who's been damaged, who has struggled and has been hurt and needs to find that. And that his whole goal is he's going to figure out a way to bring Christmas to this challenged, heartache-filled woman who's playing the part of his nurse. And then my son Scott, who worked so hard with me to kind of get the script that we did in the film, and he said, "Dad, what if John the Beloved, what if he's got a little Alzheimer's, like my dad? What if he's losing it? And what if he has to face his mortality by saying, you know, Jesus said I was going to live until he comes again, and it must be soon because I'm falling apart. I was pretty sharp until the 1700s, but I've been falling apart, and I forget things." And so the reason I bring that up, and I'm glad you gave me a chance to talk about it, is that instead of him having a real clear agenda, what he does is he just follows the feeling. The music is a kind of a representation of the spirit, and he just tries to do what he can't for sure remember why, but he knows that it's really important that he trusts that, and that he sings about himself every day, having to rediscover and recommit to the things that Christmas is all about. And he may forget a ton of things, but the one thing that he doesn't forget is what Christmas is about what Jesus came to bless us with and heal us from all of the wounds that we have. And I know it may sound a little artsy-fartsy, but it really touches my heart that this character gets a chance to discover that every day, no matter who you are or how old you are, you get to choose, are you going to follow those feelings that say, this would be a good thing to do. This might be a blessing to somebody. And I'm not exactly sure how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to follow and trust that direction. And for me, I think that's something I need to learn and keep learning. I'm probably just a little slow. But, oh, my gosh, Rebecca, it's a gift to get up in the morning and say, oh, these songs written 30 years ago are still teaching me something about how to follow those good Christmassy feelings that could direct my life from a dark place to a place of light and hope.
My goodness, I that's pretty powerful, Michael. I couldn't help but think since... You know, if we kind of open up the setting, and actually, since I didn't have a chance to see the film, so I don't know what the opening scene is, but if we open the story as Connie Lou is a nurse whose life has been quite challenged, and then her patient, John, you're talked about trying to bring her a remembrance of what's important in the spirit of Christmas, I think all of us... At first, I thought, wow, we have a lot of healthcare providers who can pretty much relate to feeling like Connie after the last couple of years. And then I thought, but it's not just about someone who's tired because they've been caring for people for so long and they've, you know, that's a big weight that there have been on their shoulders. I just started to think that we are all Connie Lou, in addition to being John, right, trying to remember the most important things in life. But many of us have been through what feels like an emotional ringer over the last couple of years. And having a play like The Forgotten Carols try to help us remember what is special, sacred, beloved about the holidays and Christmas, that's why The Forgotten Carols is, you know, will carry, in my mind, even more power on the stage this year.
I think with the emphasis being on Jesus coming to heal us as opposed to just save us, you know, there's a difference between, you know, the amazing grace approach of how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me is different than he, the great healer, who has come to heal all of us and make us whole again. And given what we've all been through with the pandemic, given the people that we have lost or the people who have been damaged, and everybody's recovering from something, everybody's trying to overcome a challenge or an addiction or an emotional difficulty, it doesn't matter who you are, you're struggling with something. And the fact that we are reminded, and I actually, when we did the filming last year of the production, the stage to screen adaptation, I changed the lyrics to one of the songs that I had added. And the lyric was, "He who came to claim us for all eternity has not forgotten those who need his healing charity." And I love, and though the number's greater than the sands upon the sea, there is no time of year that he's forgotten you or me. And I find myself continuing to be so grateful for the Lord and what he's done for me, but also grateful for the connection that this play allows me to have with those who have made it a part of their Christmas tradition. So come and we'll laugh ourselves crazy and we'll cry and we'll be touched and we'll hold hands and we'll sing and we'll celebrate a return to the spirit of Christmas that we kind of had to postpone because of what we've been through.
You know, that's so powerful. Again, for those who've just joined us, this is Michael McLean, and yes, producer and songwriter and director. And gosh, your recording career, did it begin back in 1983? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been putting together a website, allthingsmichaelmclean.com, which has all like 45 of my albums and 500 songs and podcasts and videos. And I just want to have a place where all of the things that I've been lucky enough to write and create over all these years can have a home and have it easily accessible. So if you need just a little Michael McLean to give you a little boost, to give you some hope and not feel so quite alone, I wanted to have it be available. So yeah, I've been doing this for a while and I'm still loving it.
I brought that up because, so many, you talked about the Forgotten Carols and how it's changed over the years. And you're even adding a new song that you just wrote to it as well. And so if we go back over your musical career, many of us can kind of see our own lives kind of reflected in that. So I just wanted to thank you because you have brought so much beauty to the world. And I am one of those, obviously working in music radio and a theater lover and a story lover. I'm someone who reads books every week. I feel so strongly that life can get so busy and we can get caught up in the details and the challenges, whether it be health or emotion or family dynamics, that if we don't make an appointment to stop down and to kind of breathe in things that are sacred, whether it is your belief in the birth of Jesus Christ and his role in healing us, or whether it is your belief in the power of family and giving and charity that comes with Christmas, if you don't make appointment times kind of like that, stop down and cherish it, we miss the opportunities to have that. And so you kind of just make that choice. Now, I am going to make sure that this season I make time to refuel that part of my soul. And so wonderful productions like The Forgotten Carols gives us that chance to do that. So this is my way of saying, big fan, Michael McLean, and I'm so appreciative that you're going to bring this show on the road. So, and you mentioned it's going to have, who else will be performing? You said Michael Young, who's normally on stage back east?
Michael Young, who has unbelievable resume of, he was a host of shows for Disney for years. He was a guy who won an Emmy Award for a show that he created called Kids Are People Too back in the day. And, if you look at old shows back when Love Boat, and I mean, there's all these shows from the 80s and the 90s where he's just a tremendous actor, but he also is a wonderful Christian guy who fell in love with the Forgotten Carols. He went to high school in Thailand with my wife, And then we became friends. And I can't tell you how tickled I am, because he's my brother from another mother. And he's another, we tease each other. This is the Michael McLean, and this is the Michael Young. And we get a chance to giggle and laugh ourselves silly doing these rehearsals, and then bringing the spirit together. And I am so thrilled to get a chance to introduce him to this audience, because he is a marvel and a gift. But then the gal who plays Connie Lou, Adrienne Swenson, she is like so world class. And Kyle Olson, who's got the voice, I mean, he did Jean Valjean at The Hail and Tale of Two Cities, and he's spectacular. And then we have just a cast. Gilly Getz is back from New York. We've got all the gang back to getting together again. And I hope I'm not gushing too much, but I just can't wait.
Well, I absolutely will gush for you then, if that's okay, Michael, because we're all very excited to have the Forgotten Carols back on stage and being in a time and place where we can enjoy live theater again for the holidays and the special messages that are in this play and in the music that we all get to share together. Michael McLean, thank you so much for joining us. And I know you said you're building your own website, and that will be available when? When do you think that'll go live?
I think it's, we're going to have it be a website and then an app, and I think we're hoping to get it launched by the time that I'm in the theater, so that I can talk about it. I've got a bunch of new songs that I want to share, and this is going to be the way that all things MichaelMcLean.com can be available for your delight.
I love it. And then, of course, for Forgotten Carols, to grab your tickets now. This is the time to do it, whether it's the show in Tooele, whether we're in Orem, whether it is a show in Murray at the Cottonwood High, or up in Ogden, you can grab those tickets at ForgottenCarols.com. Michael McLean, I can't wait to see you on stage. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Utah Weekly Forum.
And I'm counting on a hug when you get there.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.